Welcome to Ringside with Eric Dean, presented by Mile High Sports. I am your Avalanche beat writer for ColoradoHockeyNow.com, podcaster here at Mile High Sports, coming to you Sunday, February 2nd, on this beautiful, beautiful day in Denver, Colorado. For all the locals, my goodness, I hope you've been enjoying the weather all weekend. But starting with what we just saw the last two games, I mean, it's kind of weird that, for starters, I should say, let's see, the 30th, the 31st, the 1st. It's been 4 days since my last podcast after an unbelievable amount of shows over the last 10 days heading into this. Let's see, January 20th, the 21st, the 23rd, the 25th, the 27th, and the 29th. Just a whole lot going on, obviously. The Avalanche had that homestand where they were inconsistent as all hell. We learned a little bit about the salary cap and escrow. Then there was a little bit of a challenge toward the leadership. If you guys remember my show from the last game of the homestand back on January 23rd, only to find out a couple days later that Mikko Rantanen would be on the way out. The fallout of that trade, and then, of course, going over the trade board on the 29th of January for a trade board that was uploaded on the 27th of January. And my goodness, that trade board is beyond outdated at this point. We've seen, let's see off the top of my head, if I can list off all the names from that trade board that have since moved on. First one on the list is the very obvious one. JT Miller. JT Miller was dealt. He was on my trade board. He is no longer available. We also had Michael Granlund, San Jose Sharks, traded to the Dallas Stars. On the trade board, no longer there. Scott Laughton of the Philadelphia Flyers was not traded, but the other guy, Morgan Frost, was. That's a third name. Marcus Pettersson was a fourth name. I feel like I'm missing one. But those were the big four that were on my trade board. I also had Rasmus Anderson listed as a honorable mention, and I believe the exact phrase that I put was, I don't think Calgary ends up trading him, which is why he's listed as an honorable mention. And that's the truth. The Calgary Flames announced Nazem Kadri, Rasmus Anderson, and Mackenzie Weegar will not be dealt before the trade deadline, as the Calgary Flames are the team that acquired Morgan Frost and, of course, Joel Farabee. So moving on from that, it's been a lot. The trade board will get another little bit of a refresh. The Avalanche have three games before the Four Nations face off, and I wonder if they pull off another trade before then, just given the fact that teams are getting a lot of business done, and it's kind of been like a secondary deadline. Now, in terms of the on-ice product, we saw Colorado close out their road trip, I should say, with a 5-2 loss to the New York Islanders in a game where they played pretty damn well, but then fell asleep at the wheel in the third period, and that's all it took to lose. Followed that up with a pretty damn good two games at Ball Arena. Marty Natchez, Jack Jury, both make their Avalanche home debuts. The Avs take on the St. Louis Blues and the Philadelphia Flyers. And while, yes, you can only play the schedule ahead of you, and as of the evening of Sunday, February 2nd, the Philadelphia Flyers are in 24th in the NHL, only to be outmatched by the St. Louis Blues, who are 26th in the NHL. Two of the worst teams in the league, both with a .481 save percentage, both with a negative goal differential, both on bad losing streaks. The Blues have lost four straight in regulation. The Flyers have lost three straight in regulation. You can only play the schedule ahead of you, but the Avs had the Blues, and then they had the Flyers. They scored five, and they scored two, and they did not let in a single goal for 120 minutes of action. Two straight shutouts for Mackenzie Blackwood. 19 saves followed by 24 saves, a total of 43 saves over two games. Pretty damn good business for Colorado here on this homestand, heading into a three-game road trip that starts in Vancouver before a back-to-back in both Calgary and Edmonton on Thursday and Friday, and then we're off to the Four Nations face-off. And that in itself is crazy. I cannot believe we're 5 days away from that break. Three games coming up, three very big games for the Avalanche to feel pretty damn good about themselves if they can get some wins here before heading out on the road. It's also one of those weird scheduling quirks. The Avalanche play Tuesday or sorry, Thursday, February 6th and Friday, February 7th. And then they obviously have the 15 days off for the break. And then they come right back, right into another road trip, right into another back-to-back. Saturday, February 22nd, Sunday, February 23rd, both 4 p.m. Mountain Time starts at Nashville and at St. Louis. So after this Vancouver game, you got two on the road, back-to-back, Four Nations face-off, two on the road, back-to-back, before you get 3 days off and come back home to play the Devils, the Wild, the Penguins, the Sharks, and the Toronto Maple Leafs, and the Chicago Blackhawks for a season-long six-game road trip, which is going to get you right through the trade deadline. So with that, let's get into these last two games. Let's start with the Flyers game, since that's the most recent one, and there's a lot to talk about from that game. As you could probably tell, like I said when I started the show, I think I said it, 6 p.m. Sunday, February 2nd. So it's 5 hours since the puck dropped. It's been about 45 minutes to an hour since I left Ball Arena and came home after finishing all my writing. And the most important thing that I took away from these two games, and we'll get into the Flyers game here in a sec, is the Avalanche went into this, and Jared Bednar made a comment about wanting to treat this like it's the Four Nations, or sorry, like it's the playoffs before the Four Nations break. He wanted to treat these last five games. I did a very terrible job of reiterating what Bednar said. Let's do this again. Heading into the Four Nations faceoff, before that game against the Blues, the Avalanche had five games remaining, and Jared Bednar said he would like his team to treat it like playoff hockey and play it like it's playoff hockey. Basically, get all of the right habits, get into all of the right habits, play the right way, get some wins, compile some points. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but it's been a very wonky stretch of hockey for the Avalanche. December 31st, they beat the Winnipeg Jets. 2 days later, on January 2nd, was that epic comeback against the Buffalo Sabres, the game that Scott Wedgwood got hurt in. That was the last time Colorado won two games in a row. When did they do it again? Exactly a month later. December 31st to January 31st, and then January 2nd to February 2nd. They wanted to play playoff hockey, and if you had to ask me, job well done. They accomplished exactly that against the Blues. Jared Bednar said no passengers and no lapses against the Avalanche. He credited them again for playing a pretty damn perfect game. Not passing up on shooting opportunities. That was kind of the key of my 10 observations piece from this evening following the game. And also at the same time, playing pretty damn well defensively. While Mackenzie Blackwood has made 43 saves on 43 shots, the reality is the Avalanche aren't giving up any high danger opportunities. In fact, I loved when Jared Bednar answered his first question during the presser, talking about how it took the Avalanche 13 minutes to get a shot on goal. And he described it as, we were just going out there and playing hockey. We weren't hungry. We weren't trying to create. It wasn't our identity. But he did go on to mention, like, it wasn't even bad defensively. Like, it's not that we were getting hemmed in our zone. And, you know, he wasn't saying that we're getting hemmed in our zone. And he wasn't saying that the Avalanche are just getting stormed on by the Flyers. And they're sitting there playing on their heels, relying on Blackwood to make save after save. It was just boring hockey all around. The offense wasn't clicking. There was no urgency. And the defense, they were playing fine. The Flyers weren't creating much of anything. Now, the problem is, and like I said, you can only play the schedule ahead of you. But the problem is trying to gauge exactly how good your offense how good your defense was in a game like that is a little bit tough when you're facing a team that just got shut out for the third consecutive game. And that would be the Philly Flyers. So that's a little bit hard to kind of figure out exactly what you're getting there. But Mackenzie Blackwood was great. The Avalanche were great. And when they needed a save, he did it. He got the job done. But there just really wasn't a lot of dangerous opportunities. I can count on one hand over the last couple of games the number of times the Avalanche completely gave the puck and the chance to the other team in these two consecutive shutout wins. So kudos to Blackwood and kudos to the Avs for cleaning things up defensively. Again, these aren't strong teams that they faced. One of them sent down Brandon Saad and then terminated his contract, and he went and signed in Vegas because he's been having a rough year. The other one traded Morgan Frost and Joel Farabee only to get the replacements Jacob Peltier and Andrei Kuzmenko, who have not yet entered the lineup. Both healthy scratch. I believe they're both dealing with visa issues, still trying to get to Philly. So it was a shortened lineup. It was a team that played seven defensemen because it was a shortened lineup. And those were two offensive keys of their offense that they shipped out the door and couldn't get the replacements in time. So tough game for the Flyers, but from the Avalanche's perspective, you got to take advantage of those types of games, and they played perfect defensively. So again, I love Jared Bednar mentioning that even when we had that slow start, it wasn't like we were giving up a lot of opportunities in that time anyway. It was the offense that was struggling. And then he said they talked about it at the intermission, and they came out for the second 4 minutes until they got their first shot in the second period, which means 24 minutes into the game, they had six shots on Samuel Ersson. They ended with 32, and they ended with a couple of goals. So they figured it out. They got the offense going. They took control. Going on to Mackenzie Blackwood, I chatted with him after the game, and before he started his presser, I mentioned something to him. I said, hey, I was looking at your stats, and you know, you faced 19 against the Blues, and then you faced 24 today, basically two shutouts in a row, and you faced 43 shots. And I told him, I was looking at your stats, and I looked back at your one shutout against San Jose, and he starts laughing. He goes, haha, yeah, that one was 44. So he noticed exactly what I was trying to tell him before I can get to it. 44 saves in a shutout for the San Jose Sharks. 43 saves in two straight games of a shutout for the Colorado Avalanche. So Blackwood was very much open and honest about, God, what a difference being with this team rather than a team that he was playing with that was just there to give him an opportunity to kind of find his game and then trade him out the door, which is what they did. So that was a fun little tidbit. I'm actually curious who that shutout was against. Ooh, I just yawned halfway through a podcast. It was against the New Jersey Devils, November 10th. 44 saves. The San Jose Sharks won that game. Just an epic 1-0 victory. The goal scorer that night was Nico Sturm. My, oh, my. So Blackwood shut out his former team. Nico Sturm scored the one goal for the Sharks. 44 saves. He only faced 43 shots in his two shutouts for the Avalanche over the weekend. Friday night, Sunday, matinee, 1 p.m. Nathan MacKinnon, speaking of the number 44, just went 44 games. Crazy. Between scoring power play goals. Jared Bednar did mention that he'd like to see him do more of what he did today, which is when you have the opportunity to shoot it, just shoot it. Don't pass up the shots. MacKinnon, like Bednar said, likes to find the open man. He likes to draw attention toward him and then get the puck to the other guys. But when the guys aren't coming, or when the defense isn't coming up to you, when you're drawing that attention and you have a chance to fire it, your shot's good. Fire the damn puck. Shoot it. Do not give up shots. That's something that's been a struggle for the Avalanche all season. We saw them struggle with that on the empty netter when Marty Natchez and a couple of other guys had opportunities to shoot and did not, and the Avalanche could not get the empty net goal. Of course, Sam Girard tried to get one late and was beat by the buzzer by just a second. So really strong game for the Avalanche. I loved the way the power play looked. For the second game in a row, they've got three power play goals in two games, and I'm going to keep jumping back and forth between these two games. They've got three power play goals in these past two games, and look, there's a lot of things about what Marty Natchez has brought to this team that I'm like, man, that's awesome. Like, look at the speed, look at the production, look at how he's playing, look at this, look at that. And you say all of that knowing very well that, like, you still miss Mikko Rantanen. You miss what the guy was for this franchise. You miss what he was for this team. You miss his production. He still got six more points than Marty Natchez. And he's still sixth place in the NHL, despite only having 2 points in his first four games with Carolina. You know, he hasn't really gotten off to the same kind of quick start as Marty Natchez. But he's working his way up. And, you know, the biggest thing that I like to say, and I think I wrote about this a couple of times, is whenever you're talking about Marty Natchez and whenever you're talking about his fit, it's okay to talk about him without having to compare everything he does to Mikko Rantanen. And it's okay to say, man, I love his speed, without that being an insult to Mikko Rantanen. It's okay to say, man, I love the way he drives play, without having to constantly compare it to Mikko Rantanen. But the one thing that I will compare The one thing that I think the Avalanche knocked out of the park with this trade is the new look on the power play. And I thought this was just something that they were going to miss, because they always had Nathan MacKinnon on the right, Mikko Rantanen on the left, because obviously Mikko Rantanen's a righty, but he plays the left wing. Switch them. Nathan MacKinnon, the righty, on the left circle. Mikko Rantanen, the lefty, on the right circle, both playing their off wing, setting up for one-timers to and from each other, that cross-seam pass, circle to circle, through the defense's legs, to Mikko Rantanen, down on one knee, vintage beauty of a power play goal that we've been so blessed to watch for the last 10 years. And throughout all of that, you got Cale Makar as the power play point man, quarterbacking the entire thing. Guys like Val Nichushkin, Gabe Landeskog, Nazem Kadri, Ross Colton, Arturi Lehkonen, Jonathan Drouin, guys getting mucking it up in the crease, JT Compher. No matter who you put there, it was a strong power play. And I thought it was something they'd miss, having those two guys on their offhand on each circle with a dangerous shot. And then Jared Bednar changed my perspective of it when he talked at practice on Thursday, and he said, for whatever reason, we just never have right-hand shooters other than Nathan MacKinnon. And they finally got another one, and they got another one in a guy in Marty Natchez, who, like MacKinnon, is a puck possession player, who, like MacKinnon, can fire a one-timer, and who, like MacKinnon, can enter the zone clean. It has completely changed the look of the power play. Mikko Rantanen, Nathan MacKinnon, and Cale Makar did their thing for pretty much 6-7 years, however the hell long it's been since Cale Makar entered the NHL. I believe this is his sixth full season. He's going into his seventh playoff season, if you include the 2019 postseason when he came in against Calgary and played the whole series against San Jose. The biggest thing here is that the last 15, 20, 30 games, whatever it was before the trade, the power play was starting to run dry. And you know, we had written about it. We had talked about it. When Val Nichushkin comes back, they'll figure it out. But Val did come back. He played 21 games. He had 17 points in 17 games during that stretch. 11 goals in 17 games. He did pitch in on the power play, but it didn't change the fact that the PP was still struggling. Ever since that early strong start to the season, the power play just wasn't doing what it usually does. And even in his 11 goals, so last year, Val had 28 regular season goals. 16 of them were on the power play. In 2023, he had 17 regular season goals. 10 of them were on the power play. So think about that. 2023, he had 7 goals that were not scored on the PP. In 2024, he had 12 goals that were not scored on the PP. And he played 53 and 54 games respectively. This season, he already had 9 even strength goals. Just a world of difference in the type of game he was playing. So the power play, even with Val, wasn't quite figuring it out. So they needed a change. And, you know, I don't think that was top of mind when they made this trade, but that's just kind of been like a residual type of advantage that they've gotten from this. And it's the fact that you've completely changed the outlook of the power play. Nathan MacKinnon and Marty Natchez. So I remember talking to Jonathan Drouin after the St. Louis game, and he said it was always nice with Mikko because me and Mikko were on that left side, you know, kind of on that right side where the two left-handed shooters kind of alternating who's getting the one-timer and going back and forth between each other. And now with Rantanen and out and Natchez in, it's kind of switched it where now Natchez and MacKinnon are both doing that on the left side. And the beauty about that is those two right-handed shooters stay in that circle is that unlike Rantanen and Drouin, Natchez and MacKinnon don't stand around. You know, we saw MacKinnon falling into that habit, but ever since this trade, he moves, he cycles, he's keeping them guessing. You got Marty Natchez in the circle doing those one-timers and knocking them out of the park the way Nate usually does. And then you see Natchez up at the point, and then you see him below the hash marks, and then you see him below the goal line behind the net. Like, both of these guys are moving around. Nathan MacKinnon is finding his way to the point with Cale Makar, and he's firing shots from there, setting up Natchez for the one-timer, or Jonathan Drouin. And then he's getting the puck going into the circle himself. and just fires a wrist shot up and over a goalie in Sam Erson because I'm Nathan MacKinnon. I have a lethal shot. The power play is one part of this trade that the Avalanche absolutely knocked out of the park. So love to see that. Love to see Sam Girard scored. No points for Marty Nichols in this one, but he was still all over the game. Like you saw him kind of. He's an exciting player. He's like Nathan MacKinnon. Even when he doesn't produce, he's not invisible. He looks pretty damn good out there. He played 25-08, as you guys all remember, in his debut. 19-34 against the Rangers. 24-42 against the Islanders. 20-53 against the Blues. 24-51 against the Flyers. What does that all amount to? Three top time on ice per game in his entire regular season career in the NHL. The three top are all in this five-game stretch with the Avalanche. This is a player that wanted to play more, and he's finally playing more. He played 18.05 with the Carolina Hurricanes this season, 17.21 last year. In 2023, when he had 71 points in a full 82-game season, he played 18.25 per night. That was the most he's ever played in his career. With the Avalanche, five-game sample size, not a lot, but he's at 23.02. So shout out to that guy. He's been great. I love what he's done to the power play. And yes, you can say that while still missing what Mikko Rantanen does. I did overhear, speaking of Rantanen and the empty net goal thing, I did overhear a fan yell, "We need Mikko!" when the Avs couldn't score on their many, many opportunities on the empty net late in the third, which was absolutely hilarious. But on a serious note, like I used to say this all the time, and I still believe this now. It is a skill to score on the empty net. It's even more so when you do it as much as someone like Mikko Rantanen was doing it for the Avalanche, or someone like Alex Ovechkin, who people say, he's going to beat Gretzky's record by piling up all these empty netters. Well, the reality is he's trusted by his coach to be there late, and if he's scoring empty netters time and time again, he's the one icing the games. It is a skill to do that. It's not something teams take for granted to have a player who could so easily ice the game before the other team ever gets a chance to even claw back into it, whether they're down one or down two. This time, the Flyers were down two. The Avalanche couldn't score an empty netter. One of the fans yelled, "We need Mikko," and that was funny to me. So that's something that truly I will miss about Rantanen. But I hope the Avalanche can figure it out without him. You know, he wasn't always the only guy that scores on the empty net. So I think they'll figure it out eventually. But that was just a funny blip from today's game while on the topic of Mikko Rantanen. Jonathan Drouin, you know, the Avalanche have 7 points. Sorry, the Avalanche have scored 7 goals in these two games. Jonathan Drouin has 5 points. 5 out of the 7 goals, Jonathan Drouin played a part in them. Love that for the player. He's got 78 points now in his Avalanche career, which has officially reached game number 100. And if you remember last season, he started slow. In his first 18 games, he only had 3 goals and 3 assists. 6 points. So what does that mean? In terms of regular season hockey, in his last 82 games, the man who the Avalanche paid $850,000 a season ago and $2.5 million this year, yes, he's had some injuries, he's got 72 points in his last 82 games. Just an incredible steal, an incredible fit. I really wonder what happens with his contract negotiations, given the fact that he has dealt with so many injuries, and there's a whole bunch of wild cards going on with Val Nichushkin, Gabe Landeskog, and the Avalanche kind of reworking this roster, Ross Colton now being a winger, Jack Drury, the third line center, so on and so forth. So I'm going to call that the podcast. Sorry again that I missed the last 3 days. It's been a crazy, crazy 8 or 9 days now. 9 days, I believe, since the Mikko Rantanen trade. Still doesn't feel real. Still feels like a new era of Avalanche hockey, hopefully in a good way. We are obviously, 33 days away from the trade deadline now, which is crazy. But we're also, like I said, 5 days away from the start of the Four Nations faceoff. There is no trade freeze during the faceoff, and I wonder if the Avalanche pull off another move before then. So if you made it this far in the podcast, bless your pretty little heart. I am going to end it here because I am struggling to speak. Hockey is for everyone, and we out here.